Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarn Encircle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our treasures owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black. National Talk Black, have you saying Yan Upstrong? Let's open up the program with From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Kev Comedy. Do enjoy.
Oh, well, let's get this in one, eh?
Yeah. Oh, we get it spot on.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gather round people, I tell you a story, an 8-year-long story, power and pride, the British Lord Vesty, the Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Vesty was fat, with money and muscle, beef was his business. Broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little, he had no bank balance.
Yeah, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. That's Kev Carmody. And look, playing that song because they're going to have chat to Nathan May, Indigenous singer. And From Little Things, Big Things Grow, he's launching his new inspired song called Home. Opens up on his mediative new single, Home. Now, with Nathan May on the line. Nathan, very good morning, Nathan. How are you? You there, Nathan?
Hello.
Hello, Nathan. Can you hear me? Hello, Nathan? Nathan? I can hear some noise in the background there, Nathan.
Hello?
Nathan, can you hear me? Try again. We'll try with Nathan. Nathan, you there? No, we'll try to get Nathan back. Nathan Bay, a bit of background in Instantly Home. That evokes a sense of calm, inspired by May's affinity for wet weather. The song emerged from about of homesickness. And he started writing this song when he first moved away from home, and he revealed he was only 17 years old when he did that and had never really been away from home. But every time it started raining, he would think about home. So he wrote a song called Home. And I think I've got him on the line now. We'll try again. Hello, Nathan. Nathan, no, something going on with their phones. Nathan May, call me back, brother. Let's have a chat. Let's have a yarn. And got his going to play his song here, but just talking about well, that's how songs are made. Songs tell stories, and he's just talking about his life and his story, and being away from home. But every time it started to rain, he would think about home. So that's the yarn here. The theme of rain trickles through every facet of the track, from its vivid lyrics to its free-flowing production. Writing the song took several years, he said. He started writing in Adelaide, and all those years ago, amidst the Arabana, the Yararu, and the Marijabini man, upon returning home to Darwin for the holidays to attempt to complete it and gain a little help. So we'll just try again with Nathan May, see if we've got him on the line. Nathan, good morning. No, not getting through. So something's going on. It's the voodoo day. Here it is, Monday, back at work, and not happening. We'll try again with Nathan, but look, we'll just go to a track here, Nathan May Home, and see if we can put him through. And, no luck there with Nathan May. So keep trying, Nathan. We'll get you through and have a yarny and play your deadly song as well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. You can add to the conversation by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, so stay tuned. We'll yarn soon. You mob too deadly.
Is to recognize the ignition of this nation. I, to indigenize history's information. O, is to overcome the obstaculization. N, is to nationalize this recognition in our nation. R, is to recognize from the past the injustices. Recognizing the cost of what they did to our ancestors. Recognizing the pain that was felt and that was fought. Recognizing the distance from putting change into thought. Recognizing the sacrifice it takes to break a war. Recognizing the names of our elders upon the wall. Recognizing the fathers, how they passed down to their sons. Recognizing don't be the bullet, be the gun, son. Ah, to indigenize information on the board. Ah, to indigenize situations from afar. Oh, it's to overcome the obstacles of life. Overgliding like I was Greg Inglis in full flight.
Yeah, that's recognition, Savage Soldier, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to try again with Nathan May. Nathan, good morning.
Man, how are you, Nathan? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, too deadly. Fantastic. Yeah, right, mate. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my mum, Arabana, Yaru, Majavan people from South Australia, Northern Territory and WA. So.
Okay, brother.
Bit
fantastic.
Spread out.
Big footprint.
Yeah, that's it.
Too deadly, my brother. Now, we're talking about your new single, Home. Now, when you left home, at the age of 17, and every time it rained, you would think about home. So all songs have got a story. This is your story about missing home, yeah?
Yeah, this is the story about missing home, and I think that was kind of the way I was getting homesick, and that was the kind of way I, you know, thought of my hometown and thought of my family was when it rained, so...
No, well, it's career pathway, together. Isn't it, brother? Career pathway. So you being a big sook has started a dirty song, which may go across the globe.
Yeah. So no, I was pretty happy when
good
once I finished it off and once it actually got recorded and you can finally see the final kind of you know.
Yeah, the story in it. Final. Now leaving home at the age of 17. Was the aspiration to be a singer? That was the goal, songwriter, yes?
Yeah, I was into music. I started drumming at a young age. But, it was, I guess, just kind of being in music was the dream.
Yes.
So, yeah, it all worked out pretty well.
And where do you get your inspiration from?
From every music that I've listened to, everybody, every artist. And, you know, I listened to a lot of Archie Roach when I was in high school and a lot of Kef Carmody and a lot of songwriters who write nice stories and you know, brother there, Troy Cassidaly as well.
Troy Cassidaly, yes, beautiful.
I'm very, very inspired by his work and, you know, a lot of Aboriginal... artists inspired me, really.
Good. Fantastic, my brother. And musical instrument, you mentioned drums. You play guitar as well.
Yeah. So I play guitar. So now I can finally go out and do some solo shows.
Good.
And, you know, be able to do it on my own.
Okay. And did you ever perform with a band as such?
Yeah, I do. I tend to perform with a band. It just depends on, you know, what... pain and stuff, so
yeah, no, fantastic, brother. Fantastic. Yeah. So, are you in Adelaide at the moment?
Yeah, based in Adelaide, and
yeah, good.
Been here since when I was 17. So,
and so what about performances? Where have you performed, and what's your vision? Where do you want to be in like 5 years' time, my brother?
I think, I performed at a few, you know, big festivals and. Conferences and stuff like that. So, I guess it's. I just want to be performing or
yes,
somewhere.
Do you have a manager, Nathan?
No manager.
Okay.
No manager. I kind of just role by myself.
Yeah, role by yourself. Yeah, fantastic. Well, if you had a manager and two up-and-coming artists, they can help promote you and also organise your stuff and your performances and your gigs, whereas you can focus on your music. But from Little Things, Big Things, Bro, just finished playing Kev Carmody there. You're just managing yourself, which is fantastic, brother. That's a start. Beginning's half done. Enjoy that journey. And thank you for the yarn, my brother. So what about family, siblings? Where's mum and dad? Are they in Darwin, are they?
Yeah, they're in Darwin. I head up to Darwin tomorrow to go and perform at a conference.
So. Well, there you go. Oh, good. Okay, fantastic. And what about siblings? You got siblings?
Yeah, I got a brother and sister there up there as well. So.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you're going back home, Darwin. Big note yourself.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it, brother. That's right, exactly. Put yourself out there. Look fantastic. Thank you for the yarn, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. We'd love to have you in Cairns. We've always got gigs up here, whether it be NAIDOC and what have you, CIAF, whatever. So, put your name out there. About to play home right now. Thank you for your yarn. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll talk soon, my brother.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Nath. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with Nathan May and opens up on his mediative new single, Home. Take a listen, you mob. Too deadly.
Every day I hear the rain, every day it's falling down again. On the roof and through the trees, on my face and running across my feet. I'm standing as it's singing down and the thunder is cracking through the air. Close my eyes and listen as it's rumbling and rolling everywhere. Well, you know I love the rain. I'm feeling back home again. When I'm far away from home, I let the gray clouds gather in my mind. Watch the raindrops on the dirt, little circles come and kiss the earth. Steam is rising from the stream, drifting up to leave this empty town. Surrender to the heat, and I won't be hanging around. Well, you know I love the rain. I'm feeling back home again. Can't wait to step out of that door. And when I smell the land, I'm gonna lift my head back and breathe it in. And I will feel the water on my skin, falling from that Garamilla sky. The rain, I'm feeling back home again. You know I love the rain, I'm I'm feeling back home again. You know I love the rain. I'm feeling back home, back home again.
Beautiful track. That's Home. Nathan May. Just had a deadly yarn with Nathan May, Darwin and Adelaide brother. And look, he designed and created that song. It's a new single. And he created the fact that when he left home at the age of 17, never really been away from his family before. And every time it started rain, he would think about home. So there it is, up and coming artist. Fantastic. He's off to Darwin as of tomorrow, leaving Adelaide to catch up with his family at home, but also performing up there. So around the country, keep that name there at your mind. Nathan May, his name is, and that's a daily track there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Text a brother, otherwise 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page, BBM987FM. All right, two daily, all ears here for your daily yarns on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Come back again. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
I'm created by the Most High, powerful host of angels in the sky. This I say, I know life. Cultural dancing be passed down from generation, from generation. Expressing my identity, this is a representation to my land and coral sea. Coral sea, wo-yo-yo-yo. As we strike and hit the ground, feel the earthquake beneath your feet. My spirit's filled with strong beliefs, feel the energy. My mala, too good, respect, powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the
feel
islands.
The energy.
Strike in, my mala, too good, respect, powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the islands. Yeah, stop him. Striking, you probably look.
Feel the energy.
Too good. Awesome. Yeah. Born today.
This is how we're gonna do it. Mob yo. Yo. They plug out energy.
Yeah.
Masik. Yo. You plug out energy.
You look there, Masik.
Saint Paul.
Yo.
They plug out energy.
You plug out energy.
Sai Bai.
Sai Bai.
Yo, you plug out energy.
Strike him. Wawa.
Badu.
Badu.
Yo, they plug out energy.
How got there? Wawa.
Danle.
Danle.
Yo, you plug out energy.
Danle. Danle.
Daru.
Daru.
Yo, they plug out energy.
Daru. Yeah.
Mari Island.
Mari
Yo,
Island.
You plug out energy.
Wawa style.
Feel the energy.
Strike him. My mala. Respect, powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the island.
Feel the energy.
Strike in, my mala, too good. Respect, powder, this one power. People are still ya dancing warriors from the islands.
Yeah, stop him. Watch him strike him. You probably look up.
Feel the energy. The energy. Feel the energy.
beautiful track there, Bakichu, the Saltwater Band, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindji Country as BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So do yarn up strong, your mob, have your say. All right, now Australia leads the world with a new international guideline to improve the health of women with polycystic ovary syndrome. A new Monash University-led international partnership has delivered an international guideline to improve the lives of women with polycystic ovary syndrome, that's PCOS, a neglected health condition. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with yarn now with Professor Helena Teed, AM, Executive Director of Monash Partners Academic Health Research Translation Centre on the line. Professor Helena, very good morning. How are you, Professor?
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based in Melbourne?
Yes, I am, yes.
Cold country? I'm here in Cairns, far north Queensland, sister.
Yeah, I'm sure it's much nicer view up there.
Thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. Australia leads the world with new international guidelines to improve the health of women with polycystic ovary syndrome. So, look, fantastic. That's great. Leading from the front. Can you tell us a bit about polycystic ovary syndrome, please? PCOS.
Yeah, look, it's a common condition. I think one of the most important things is that it affects 1 in 8 women, and in our Indigenous population, it's about 1 in 5 women. So it's much more common in Indigenous Australians.
And what's the actual syndrome? What is PCOS?
So first of all, it is not a disease of the ovaries. Second of all, there are no cysts involved, so it's a very difficult, confusing condition often because people, the name is historic and incorrect, and we're in the process of trying to change that. But what it actually is a syndrome, which means lots of different parts put together, not one thing.
Okay.
And those parts are basically that people have hormone imbalance, and that causes clinical features, and that includes things like irregular cycles, the ovaries can't work as well, and there's a much higher rate of infertility. There's also the hormones cause things like early diabetes and early heart disease, so there's the metabolic side, and it also has quite significant psychological and quality of life impacts, and it affects things like excess body hair, facial hair. It can also even cause scalp hair loss, like balding, that we often see more typically in men.
Yeah, so when we say neglected health condition, has this been put on the shelf over the years, has it?
Yes. It's like many women's health conditions that is often seen as just women's business and aren't really necessarily talked about well and are definitely not understood or researched or educated well. So even though it's between 1 in 5 to 1 in 8 women, it takes up about 1 hour of 5 to 6 years of medical training and 10 minutes if you're a dietitian, even though it's a really common condition that really needs healthcare information. So it's one of those sort of just conditions that haven't been understood very well, haven't been talked about. It's got this name that really doesn't reflect it. And so women basically just don't get diagnosed accurately, or they take too long. On average, they see 3 doctors before they get a diagnosis. Many just don't get a diagnosis until they're ready to have a family. So it's sort of one of these hidden secret diseases people didn't talk about much, and we just need to speak to that.
Well, with it being neglected as such, there's got to be a big cost exceeding looking after the our women out there with this syndrome. Yes.
Yeah, it's about $1 billion a year in Australia.
Whoa.
And a lot of that is preventable. These women need a lot of, often need help to have a family. Mm. Even though when they're first diagnosed, when they are diagnosed, they're often told, you may not be able to have a family, which is incorrect. We can help the vast majority of people who have this condition with tablets only, not with IVF.
Okay.
And many of them will go on to have a family. But early diagnosis and appropriate prevention and treatment is really important.
So, Professor, is it fair to say that medical operators, doctors and what have you, are they giving the wrong information then when they're saying that that you cannot have children, bear children?
Exactly. Well, when they're given 1 hour of education in medical school by infertility teams, because that's usually the only place that it's discussed, and a lot of our doctors were trained 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when we didn't know much about this condition. So the problem with not raising the awareness and not having the focus on the condition and the understanding is that it is not well understood. And so the information that was relevant 30 years ago is no longer relevant, and we need to get the message out there to our doctors as well as to our patients. And we're working very closely with all of the medical colleges around doing that.
Oh, fantastic. So when we're talking about the ovary syndrome, so we're talking gynecologists at the table?
GPs first and foremost.
Okay.
So the first person that a person, the local community health centres and the community health nurses would be really important, the GPs, because they're the ones we see first. And
exactly.
It's a lifelong condition.
Yep.
And so it varies. It might be when you're a teenager, you're more worried about the facial hair and the putting on weight around the tummy that happens with this condition. Then when you're looking at getting pregnant, it might be fertility, and actually there's some complications in pregnancy too. And then potentially there's diabetes and heart disease, which can come anywhere along that stream.
Snowball effect.
So really
effect.
It is
avalanche.
Something a GP's know. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it hereditary, Professor?
Yes.
It
so
is.
There's actually a much higher prevalence. Interestingly, it's actually from the father's genes as well.
Oh.
So both father's genes and mother's genes contribute. Fathers of women who have this condition are more likely to get heart attacks and strokes, have high blood pressure, and also have higher hormone levels, very much like we see in PCOS.
So we're talking about a woman's disease? Can men pick it up?
Yeah, it is actually. They've just done some work recently looking at the genetic contributions, and there's now what we call a genetic score, and we can identify men who have that genetic score as well, and they have more heart disease and diabetes, and there's nothing to do with their ovaries. And so it's really about understanding that this is a group of genes complicated by our environment and our lifestyle and the weight gain that our population has more broadly, which makes it worse, and then it comes out with all of these manifestations across the lifespan.
And then open up the conversation with Australia, leading the world with new international guidelines to improve the health of women with polycystic ovary syndrome. So we are communicating with the medical world across the globe?
Yes, we are. There were 71 countries actually partnering in this guideline, and in fact our resources from the guideline, which we did the first one in 2018, and this is now an expansion and update, and the resources and things are used in 196 countries now.
Good, fantastic. Well, leading from the front, fantastic, and we're having a conversation here on National Talk Black, which goes across the country, so getting the word out, fantastic. Professor Helena, thank you very much for your yarn. Keep doing what you're doing. Please keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks very much. We do have a yarning story about PCOS, so we'll send you the resources.
That'd be great. Thank you. All the best to you.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Professor Helena Teed, her name is, Monash University, leading global academic in PCOS. And PCOS is polycystic ovary syndrome and a neglected health condition. So we need to work closely and work hard with it. There's the estimated associated health care costs exceeds $800 million annually. So a lot of work to be done. It has been put on the shelf, so to speak, but it's a very important conversation that needs to be had, and look after our beautiful women out there. But apparently men can get it as well. So there it is. Have you saying Jan Upstrong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
And I remember the day.
Mama, little me again, gon' need all go. Mama, little me again, gon' need red go. Oh.
Traveling in a brand new trophy. On a beanie trailer full of stories. I met a strange styler. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me my name.
And she said,
we come from a land down under. Where dollars smile and meaning
thunder.
Can you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Buying bread from a man in the wind. He was 6'4", Nagi Muke. I said, you're speaking my language. Good wingo. He smiled and gave me a penny back, my name.
Said,
you come from a land down under. Where dollars smile and beating thunder. Can you hear that thunder?
Sorry, my darling, I'm just a man. Baby, girl, can you wipe them tears? I'm really sorry that I disappeared.
Mr. Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
To Delhi. Thank you, my sister. That's Jessica Mowboy. Station ID. Thank you very much, my sister, promoting our daily program here in National Talk Black. And look, have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. And don't forget to text number as well, 0457140550. Or a Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Okay, the news here, Daily Telegraph. We've got James Campbell here saying, who wins, Albanese or Dutton, if Indigenous Voice loses referendum? If the Indigenous Voice to Parliament fails and the margin isn't a small one, what will this mean for Anthony Albanese and Peter Dutton? Is the question asked by James Campbell. There comes a point talking to Labor MPs at the moment when the conversation slows for a few seconds while they take the time to tell you that, notwithstanding everything they have just said, they still think the referendum can be won because there are still a large number of people who either don't know the thing is happening or haven't made up their mind. Of course, they might be right. It might well be the case that the large percentage of the populace who don't watch the news or read a paper is overwhelming, made up of people who are going to turn up in a couple of months' time and vote yes. Unfortunately, there is absolutely no evidence this is the case. Instead, polls suggest that as the number of undecided don't knows shrink, most of them heading to no, which isn't to say either side thinks they've got it in the bag. If there's one thing both sides agree on, it's that it's not an absolute impossibility the referendum will pass. It's just at the moment you'd rather be running the no case. At the moment you'd rather be running the no case. For argument's sake, let's assume it fails and the margin isn't a small one. From there, things quickly move on to what will mean for Anthony Albanese and Peter Dutton. In the PM's case, the pessimistic view is that having to put so much effort into passing the referendum, it stands to reason he will diminish by a decisive rejection. It was, after all, no one's decision but Albo's to put implementing the Uluru Statement from the Heart at the centre of his government's agenda in his speech on election night last May. But if making an issue relatively few Australians care about centrepiece of his first term was originally political sin, he compounded it in March this year by declining to use the authority to get referendum question watered down. By then it was clear that including the right of the voice to make representations to the executive government, not just parliament, was a sticking point for many constitutional conservatives who might otherwise have supported it. If Alba had been thinking how he could maximise referendum's chances of passing, he wouldn't have left the job of persuading Indigenous leaders to accept the compromise to the Attorney General. He'd have asked them himself. It should not have been left to Attorney General Mark Dreyfus to deal with the National Referendum Engagement Group in an attempt to compromise on making representation to Parliament rather than executive government. But he wasn't prepared to do it, and with that died any chance of peeling off enough Liberals to give it a good chance of passing. The pessimistic view of some Labor folks is these mistakes will be held against him if this fails. Another view, which I have more often heard expressed by the Liberals, is pass or fail by the time the vote at the next election, the voice referendum will be distant memory. According to this view, while the government might be suffering now with votes who think it ought to be more focused on those cost of living, there will be plenty of time to remedy that problem after the voice goes down. My own view is that in a perverse way, the distraction of the voice works in Labor's favour. In its absence, it would be much clearer how little it is doing, indeed can do, about the erosion of people's living standards. As for Peter Dutton, his fans think he will get the credit for defeating the voice and that in politics a win is a win. The alternative view among some Liberals is in hamper him strategically in a long bid to reclaim some of the legal seats. These pessimists point out Labor's primary vote is still much higher than it is last May and has an election withheld now. It would return to a landslide, according to this view. While the voice defeat might give the opposition a brief sugar hit, the reality is they are still staring down the barrel of a massive defeat and time is running out to do something about it. Have you say, Yann Armstrong, what's your thought of The Voice where we're sitting at the moment? We only sneeze away from making the vote. It is compulsory referendum. And you have to tick on the write on the paper, yes, why yes, or no, no. So there we stand. It is a voice to Parliament. It is having a say at the table and with no power, a tiger without no teeth. There's no money involved, what have you, but they discuss with the government being at the table in Parliament to where or what should be done regarding closing the gap and helping our people, First Nation people. Have you seen Yann Armstrong? 7 minutes left on the program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-4416. Biding our time, that's what we're doing.